Thanks, Emmanuel. Good morning, everyone. Okay, so I was quite pleased the effect that that title got on everyone. I flung it together. We will refer to both of those. We want to talk about fathers and father figures today, and we want to say thank you to fathers, because fathers don't always get a good rap, do they? But actually, we want to thank the fathers and the dads and the men as well. And it might be a difficult day. It is a difficult day for some of us. And God's got a message for you too, just like Emmanuel was saying. It might be that rather than a father, someone else has played that role in your life, a father figure. And sometimes we find father figures in quite unexpected places. And I find that quite wonderful, particularly in the church. And I'm also aware that there are some here who aren't fathers yet. And just give a warning to those folk, as Steve, as Steve Martin said, a father carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. So just mind that. But let's honour fathers. Human fathers are inspired by Father God, who's the perfect father, as we've already... No, we haven't been singing. We sang in the practice. We might come on to that. There are so many aspects of God, it's amazing to study. God is holy. God is omniscient. God is righteous. God is eternal. God is spirit. He's invisible, but he's also our Father, as it says in the Lord's Prayer. And many people see the whole concept of Father God through the grid of their own experience. So if our experience hasn't been that great, then it contributes to a wrong impression of God. When it comes to authority or faithfulness, reliability, or generosity, or affection, or even just being around, and how accepted you feel, our earthly fathers, all of them have let us down at some point. They will have got it wrong. But that doesn't mean that Father God got it wrong for you. And I want to quote from a famous book that some of you may have read, The Father Heart of God, Floyd McClung. And those of you on the Equip course will have seen this quote before. Your Heavenly Father was there when you first walked as a child. He was there through hurts and disappointments. He's present now at this moment. You were briefly loaned to human parents who, for a few years, were supposed to have showered you with love, like his love. The love and security of a good home and family were intended by God to prepare you for his love. If our parents failed us, we must recognize that fact, forgive them, and go on to open our hearts to God's love. Look at this verse here from 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. We're children of God. And I just want to leave this because I've been looking through different passages in the Bible. And one of the verses that I think is the best piece of advice, I'm not going to unpack this now, but is in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Part of our job as fathers is to train and to show them what it's like to have a relationship with God. So, what makes dads so great? Because dads are great. I've never found it difficult to blow my own trumpet, and I am a dad, so I say that. We're great. We love to spend time with our kids. Benjamin Zephaniah, I don't know who's heard of Benjamin Zephaniah, poet and novelist. He was brought up in Birmingham, and he wrote an autobiography called The Life and Rhymes, Benjamin Zephaniah. And he talks about his stepdad. He and his mum left the family home because his mum was getting hit by his dad. And he and his mum left together. He left all his siblings behind. And they ended up in a large family. She ended up with a chap called Pastor Burris. And Zephaniah says this about his stepdad. He was the complete opposite of my dad. He'd go to the park, kick a ball with me. We'd go for long walks over the Malvern Hills. He taught me how to play dominoes. At some quite important moments in my development, he became like a father. He was the first man to give me proper advice about girls, money, survival, and all the other things that puzzled boys. I got on extremely well with him, And he was never afraid to help me try and answer the big questions I was always asking. It's interesting that Amy was talking about Martin answering those questions as well. I think there's a really powerful role, obviously, for dads, for mums, whoever's available. We have to recognise, of course, sometimes there isn't a dad in the picture, is there? And so sometimes mums play the father roles. Fathers have so many different roles in the lives of their children. We watch and we copy our fathers. And a child in a letter to God said, "Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over." And another child prayed this, "Dear God, is it true my father won't get in heaven if he uses his bowling words in the house?" That was from Anita. And finally, "Dear God, my grandpa says you were around when he was a little boy. How far back do you go?" So fathers are there to answer all these questions. And I don't know how many of you have found a YouTube channel by a chap called Rob Kenny called Dad How Do I? And it's got 4.6 million subscribers. And it's got clips of how to do practical things. The most popular videos are how to wet shave and how to tie a tie. And these are the things that dads do for their kids. And obviously mums do as well sometimes. I think it was actually Louise who taught the boys how to tie their shoelaces rather than me. I think one of them knows how to tie. I'm not sure if Ethan does, but anyway. A few statistics about fathers. Fathers are actually doing a better job than they used to. Now, this isn't to be down on those dads who go back to this time period. It was partly in the culture. But in the 1950s, dads didn't get involved so much in looking after babies. This is where my nappy changers comes in. 51% wouldn't get up in the night for their baby. I'm sure the dads here aren't included in these stats, but I'm not going to inquire. 43% would never change a nappy. And this is an incredible statistic. Only 8% of fathers, and I guess this was cultural, attended the birth of their children in 1950. That changed. By 1980, 91% of fathers attended the birth. By 2010, 65% of fathers changed nappies a good deal. And 72% respond to crying babies in the night. So things have got better. And I know Toby's had quite a lot of practice on nappy changing, as he was discussing last week. But men suffer as well. And we have to remember this with dads. There are lots of issues with men. And men do get a raw deal. And we don't often think about this. But when it comes to victims of crime, particularly robberies and murders, or people who are homeless, people who are in prison, the vast majority, of course, are men. And a lot of these will be fathers. All of them will be sons. Did you know that a third of all domestic abuse victims are male? And only half of the men who've been abused domestically will ever tell anyone. So they keep it quiet, of course. Men aren't very good at talking, are we? And more recently, it's become clear that men suffer from poor mental health. You'll be aware, probably, of the suicide statistics. More than 13 men take their life every day in the UK. And this breaks God's heart that these things are happening. And what impact does that have on the children involved in those situations? 1 million children are growing up with no contact with their fathers. And 76% of males in prison have had an absent father. So fathers are so, so important. I'm not telling you this to depress you. I'm saying this is why we need to affirm dads, to honour them and to recognise how important they are. And God can turn our lives around. He's turned my life around. I'm sure he's turned your life around. Look what it says here in Psalm 40. He drew me up from the pit. From the pit of destruction. Out of the miry bog, he set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. I never get tired of listening to stories of men who've messed up, as most men do, most of us do, and then God has stepped in and turned their lives around. I don't know if you've heard the testimony of Justin Rees-Larkham, but it is an amazing testimony of a gambling addict who God turned his life around. So we become very vulnerable as parents, and it can be quite desperate. Cormac McCarthy, the American novelist who died this week, an amazing writer, said this about children. There's not much you can do to try to make a child into something he's not. But whatever he is, you can sure destroy it. Just be mean and cruel, you can destroy the best person. And we don't want to muck it up. But basically, when God gives the gift of a child to a family, God's given everything there that we need. And they're like a blank slate, and they've got that divine spark within them. William Wordsworth, this isn't on my note here, but he says, "Trailing clouds of glory do we come." He wrote an incredible poem about how children come from heaven. But we can muck it up. We can muck it up. And we just need to bear that in mind. I'm sure you've been paying attention to the event that happened in Nottingham with the tragic deaths of the two 19-year-olds. And I don't know if you heard, didn't you hear James O'Malley Kumar, who was the brother of the girl who died, standing there in front of a massive crowd and saying, "Cherish every moment you spend with your loved ones." So we need to do that. Treasure the time we get with our children. And someone said to me the other day, quite out of the blue, he said, "By the time you get to 18, or by the time your child gets to 18, you've spent 80% of the time that you'll ever spend with them. Because when they leave home, you don't see them so much. And the shoe is on the other foot. And instead of you getting fed up of your children calling you, you're sitting there waiting for a call from your children. Unless you're a grandparent on grandparent duty, in which case it's probably slightly different. But coming on to the gangster aspect of what I wanted to say, sometimes we get worried. I get concerned, myself as a dad, that I'm having too high expectations of my children. And we just need to show them unconditional love, don't we? And just say, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you pass or fail your exams, whatever. We just love you. And I'm just thinking about the fact Ethan passed some exams last week, which is really good. He was pleased about. So that's good. He's got some more, though, tomorrow and Tuesday. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Road to Perdition, which came out in about 2002. That's a still from it. A mob enforcer, Mike Sullivan, played by Tom Hanks, you might be able to recognise him there, is on the run with his young son, Michael Jr. He's seeking vengeance against the mobster who murdered his wife and his other younger son. And Michael didn't know that his father was a gangster until he's learning it in 6 weeks on the road with him after the loss of his family. And Hanks's character gets the revenge he seeks on the mobsters, but one of the men, Maguire, he doesn't kill him entirely, and he's very disfigured, and this guy comes after Hanks's character. It's played by Jude Law, and he comes to finish him off. And in fact, these two seem to have got to a good place. They've got to the shores of Lake Michigan, they've got to this beautiful house, and Michael is playing with the dog on the beach. And Sullivan goes into the house, and Maguire is lurking in the house, and he shoots Sullivan. And so Michael finds himself at the age of 12 with a gun in his hands, but he's unable to kill Maguire, who's fatally shot his father. He can't do it. Sullivan himself manages to grab a gun and take Maguire out. Then Michael realizes he's only 12, as his father is dying in his arms, that he's pleased with him after all. His only fear was that his son would follow his road. He was so pleased that he wasn't able to shoot. He wasn't able to kill. And the movie ends with Michael's voiceover saying, "When people ask me if Michael Sullivan was a good man or if there was no good in him at all, I always give the same answer. I just tell them he was my father." And I've never forgotten the ending to that movie. If you've never seen it, I recommend it. Just a couple of things then on fathers from the Bible that are reassuring. So this is the good bit. There is a natural honour. Children naturally respect their fathers. And this is, you might not think so at times, but they do. And in Hebrews 12:9, it says this: "We've all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it." Part of the duty of a father is to make sure their child is safe, that he doesn't go off the rails. There's some brilliant little clips that come up on Facebook and Instagram and things of dads rescuing children who are falling off swings or tumbling down hills and things like this. And a dad's reflexes rescuing their kid is great. But as children grow up, of course, it gets more difficult to keep them safe. But you've got a unique role in your children's life that no one else has, being their dad. I know there are different combinations of families. You might not be the only father figure. But there is this inbuilt respect, father to son, father to daughter. And secondly, the second thing that comes up in this passage, they disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. And I really find this verse reassuring. One translation says, they disciplined us according to their lights, according to the understanding they had, the wisdom they had. They did the best they could. And God has actually designed each of us to be natural parents. And I think that's what that says there, that you know, it wasn't perfect, but we kind of know how to do it. You don't actually need someone to come and tell you how to discipline your child as a dad. You know what they need. Sometimes we don't always get it right, of course. Sometimes when we're trying to set the boundaries, we can come down too hard, or we can be too soft. But that's where, if we're a team, if we've got a partner, we can help each other out, or we can use other family members or even church community to help us if we need help. I'm bad at times as a dad. I don't like getting my children to bed on time. I get distracted and I think, oh no, Noah's still up. Sometimes I lose my cool. I say things in an aggravated tone. Louise is always telling me off for that. Or I can nag them. But we get this stuff wrong, but it doesn't matter too much. God looks after it. God fills in the gaps where we mess up. You've probably heard this phrase, toxic masculinity, being bandied around. But actually, the biggest thing of all, if we're a real man, we can admit our faults to our children and we can say, sorry, I messed up there. And we can be honest about that and show that we mean that we're going to do it better. And if you struggle with doing it better, ask God to help and he'll help us. So we're naturally wired to parents. And if you know you're loved, then you can love others back and you can forget about yourself. That's the greatest thing about being a parent, is that you have to focus on other people. And it's natural to do so. I just want to say thank you to fathers. You're loved, you're appreciated, and to all the men here, because even if you're not a father, you still have an impact on other people's lives, and you still have that opportunity, particularly in church, but in your natural family as well, to be an uncle, to be a cousin, a nephew, whatever. And father-son relationships go both ways, don't they? Particularly as we get older, they're mutually valuable, and father-daughter as well. Sorry, I'm saying son all the time, but obviously daughter's just as important as sons. So we want to honour God as well this morning. Isn't he a good father? Isn't he a good father? And if we recognise that fathers make sacrifices and we see those sacrifices, those are seen, your children see the sacrifices you make, and even if they don't express it now, they'll probably express it later. It's always good, isn't it, to actually take the time to express those things. But God sacrificed for us, as we've sung today. This verse here, he's the father of the fatherless. He's so good. So I just want us to pray as we close, and we're gonna finish with a couple more songs. But just take a moment to ask God what he's showing you in this moment. Is it about you as a father, as a grandfather? Is it about you as a son? Is it someone? Is God putting someone on your heart who needs a bit of fathering at this time? So let's just pray. Father, we want to know you more. We want to experience you as Father more and more and more. We want to understand what it means to walk through our lives with you as our good Father by our side. We pray that you'll whisper to us if we're about to make a wrong choice. Help us know, Lord, when we're about to put our foot in it and say something that we really shouldn't say. Encourage us with your confidence and joy when we're doing the right thing, Lord, or when we need to speak up about your truth, give us the courage to do so. Help us to be brave. Help us to remember who we are in Christ, that we're strong, that we're stable, that we're able, that we're more than conquerors. We pray this, Lord Jesus, in your name, and we just thank you for who you are, Lord God. You're the perfect Father, and we thank you for sending your Son. You didn't have to do it, but you did it, and we're eternally grateful for that. Help us to model that agape love, that unconditional love, to all those that we meet and know. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.